Wow, Radiant Life Church, what a time of worship and diving into what God has for us. I just think there's something special about being able to sing and declare the victory of God. And maybe for some of you out there, this week you feel like there's a little bit of victory. I've seen some people that are out eating at a patio or on a patio at a restaurant. Anybody at your home in here? Anybody, you've done that out there? I see some hands. Yes, I feel some hands. You can comment on there. There may be other people, though, who you're like, what? No way. Now, wherever you are, would you raise your hand if you're like, there's no way I'm going to a patio at a restaurant for a while? Are there any of those? Fewer, I think. I think I feel fewer of those. But this morning, we're going to look at Jacob, especially Jacob and Esau, and talk about the concept and what the word would give to us about the concept of fear or faith. Or in today's words, fear is greater than faith. We're going to talk the next 3 weeks about Jacob and look at him, look at his life, look at some of the situations. If you think about Jacob, he was a conniving, scheming young man. And he had a mama that she helped him out with his scheming and conniving. Right? She helped him do things like steal the birthright. He got the birthright. He got the blessing as his mom helped him that should have gone to Esau, and instead Jacob received it, putting hair all over a camel, goat hair on him. And I just can't imagine. Can anybody else imagine? How could it be that someone rubbed his arms and said, oh yeah, that's real. That's his skin. That's how he must have been one hairy, hairy guy. That's all I have to say. But there was amazing thing after thing after thing. Then he gets kind of kicked out. He has to run from Esau, because if he doesn't, he's going to be killed, because his brother is not overly pleased by losing the blessing of the firstborn. All of a sudden, all of these things are happening. And he goes to Laban. He works for years and years. He takes is given two of Laban's wives, which I know that's really weird if you're new to the Bible or old time. It's weird. I think it was weird for them as well. It never worked well. Anybody in the Bible with two wives ever seemed to go? Not really. But he had two wives. He basically took all of Laban's stuff through deals and schemes that he worked. Until finally he left Laban and was going to go back to Esau some 20 years after Esau said, I'm going to kill you. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but that could be fearful. I've never had anybody legitimately tell me, I'm going to kill you. Now, I think I've heard some of my children tell each other, I'm going to kill you. But I don't think it was legitimate. I think it was more just mad. Any other parents, you can put something in those comments as well, that my kids have done that. Or maybe even you as the parent, hopefully not to them said it, but you've thought it, I'm going to kill you. I'm sure not. Nobody at Radiant Life Church. But this was not that sort of thing. This was Esau coming at him, going to literally kill him. What a crazy moment. His mom actually told him, Jacob, you need to go, run away, find somewhere else. I will send for you when it's time, when you're safe. 20 years has passed, and there's no evidence that his mom ever sent for him, because Esau was not happy. Esau was super upset. Now, it's a little different than our situation today, but I think there's fear that we're going to see just flow out of Jacob. And I think in our society, in our culture, right now, in this virus that we're all working through, I believe that there's fear, there's questions, there's concern. In fact, it's very possible that there's fear on one side that says, I'm going to get this and I'm going to die, so I need to stay home. I'm going to do my own, I'm not going to go near anybody for the rest of my life, sort of a feeling. And obviously now that's getting long, right? I mean, it's getting long, even if that's our feeling. But then on the other side are people who are like, this isn't even real, which people are dying. It's definitely real, but you've heard people or seen those things on Facebook. And I think sometimes our fear can actually go from, I'm going to stay inside, to this isn't even real, because I'm afraid of what government might do or what other people might do. And it's easy to walk in fear no matter what side of an issue we are on. It's an amazing thing to kind of look at in our life. What does fear do in us? What does it drive us to do? What direction does it make us or cause us to go? And today we're going to look at Genesis chapter 32. The next couple weeks, 3 weeks, we're going to look there and through 32 and then into 33. And this is when Jacob leaves Laban and makes his way home, makes his way to Esau. Right from verse Genesis 32, 1 and 2, we see something that I pray we experience. And we're going to call it the meeting today. Genesis 31, 1 to 2 says, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp. So he called the name of that camp Mahanaim. And you know, it's amazing to me that when we think about this scripture and we think about this word, Jacob takes his step towards what should have been his norm, truly, what should have been where he was and should have been the direction he was going and shouldn't have had to flee, except for his behavior and the things that he did. And you know, it's interesting that when he heads back to where he should be, that all of a sudden, the angels of God met him there. It's amazing that when we walk where we should be, that the angels of God are with us, that all of a sudden we get to see what God is doing and how God is moving. I think in Jacob's situation, there could not have been anything that would have been more beneficial or positive than to know that God, his angels were there with him, that he was safe, that he was secure. I would think that faith would rise up within you. If this morning in your house, wherever you are today, if you all of a sudden saw a host of angels that are surrounding you, that are guarding you, that are protecting you, that are keeping you, it would be like, come on, somebody, this is awesome. Whether you have a big situation or not, that would be super cool. And I think it would be easy to let faith arise within us when we say the Lord is here, his angels are here. And you know, I think really cool about God is I don't think that God leaves us, and I don't think his angels leave us, but it's our vision, our sight, to be able to experience him, to be able to see him, to be able to see what he's doing and how he is moving. But we have to be in the right place, in the right situation. Our hearts have to be right. When we say, Laban, I'm gone, I'm going to go do what I'm called to do, then all of a sudden, I can let that meeting with God happen in a way that I can experience. God is with us. He moves. You know, Billy Graham, he talked about a story of John Patton, a missionary, in his book, Angels, God's Secret Agents. He told of how one night, hostile natives surrounded his mission's headquarters, intent on burning the Pattons out and killing them. He and his wife prayed through the entire night, and when daylight finally came, their attackers all left. A year later, talking to the chief, who now, a year later, had given his life to the Lord, said, why on that night did you not come in? Why on that night did you not kill us? Why didn't you do what you said you were going to do? And the chief said, because you had too many big, strong, radiant people that were outside of your home. We couldn't get inside of your home because these guys, I don't know who and where you found them, but they were there and we could not get in, so we had to leave. And you know what? When our eyes are opened to see what God is doing, it takes fear out of my life and says I can have faith to believe, including if I am in another country and if there's a village of people that want to kill me, I can say, Lord, if you would spare me, you've got me. If you want that, if that's your will, it's going to happen just like here for the Pattons. They had no control of their life in that moment. But you know who did? God and his angel armies who were with him. And that in this moment is what Jacob experienced. He knew there was two camps. It was a double camp. Today, angels are ministering, and it's time to start looking for them. It's time to start living and looking with eyes of faith. Now, when in this moment, I want to be sure that we're very, very clear. That does not mean that COVID, coronavirus, we should just do whatever we want. I've seen things, you know, in prisons, I think in California, that the inmates were like licking stuff and trying to pass it on so they could get out of jail. Okay, we're not in jail, so we should not be licking any poles trying to get coronavirus and saying God's going to protect us, because God couldn't protect us, but he doesn't normally protect us if we're going for the stupidity, right? I mean, that's not how it works. But Lord, could you give me wisdom in how I can walk in the situation of my life, through coronavirus, through a family problem, through an issue with my spouse, through something at my work? Lord, would you let your angel armies be around me? Would you let your angel armies guide me and direct me so that I don't have to fear? I can know even in the middle of a storm, you are with me. What a meeting that is. I felt this morning as we were worshiping, come on, God is moving. He moves if we're at home. He moves if we're in the building. God meets with us, but are we turning our attention to him? You know, as we continue in this passage, it goes from the meeting to the message. Jacob sends a message to Esau in verses 4 and 5 that says, "Thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male servants, female servants. I have sent to tell my Lord in order that I may find favor in your sight." Now, I just thought, what an interesting message. After years of not seeing him, of not talking with him, of not communicating with him, he basically says, "I have tons of stuff." And I was thinking, is that like gloating? Is that like I'm the man? And as I was reading some different things, what he was saying is, Esau, I'm not here to be of a concern to you. I'm not here to be a problem to you. I'm not here to take your stuff. I don't want to take anything else from you. I think he basically is saying, I've already taken enough. I understand that. God is blessed, and I just want to be able to live in peace with you. I have plenty, right? He's in this place. He has this message that he sends saying, I just want to be a friend. I want to find favor in you. This reconciling moment. Now, the interesting thing that happens is the response that Jacob wants is probably not Esau hearing that he's coming with 400 men armed for battle. Probably not what Jacob was looking for. He's probably like, what? There were angel armies. There's all this stuff. Like, this should be good. The message did not come through how I wanted it to, apparently. Esau's coming with 400 men. I am going to die. And you know, a message of fear leads to a heart of fear. It leads to decisions of fear. It leads to me doing things that maybe I shouldn't. It leads to me doing things that takes me from faith, the angel army's with me, God is with me, to fear, I have to come up with another plan. I've got to scheme this myself. I've got to figure out how it is that I can be accomplish what I have been called to accomplish, or in his case, how do I stay alive, right? That's really what he's looking for. So the meeting with God led to a message, but when he didn't like what that message was on the return, all of a sudden another scheme came from his heart. The scheme in verse 7 and 8, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two camps, thinking, if Esau comes to the one camp and attacks it, then the camp that is left will escape." Now, that's not very faith-filled. We went from the God of angel armies, like seeing double camp, this is awesome, the Lord is so good, to a message, to fear, to now let's just cut the room in half, and if he attacks that side, you're all dead, but we're going to run away and we'll get out of it. That doesn't sound like a very good plan. But I think when we live in fear, so often that's the kind of plans we come up with. That's the kind of plans, well, if it's not going to go well, then I'll just let this area of my life die and this area will be all right. Or I'm going to let this part of me be successful and I'm going to do something different on the other side. And I do not think that that is how God intended for him to live. I feel quite confident that that is not what the Lord was speaking and what the Lord was doing. That's probably not why he showed up with angels to be in his camp to say, okay, now you split them up, you try your own plan, you do your own thing. There's something about locking into the word of God to give us wisdom and strength to not do our own thing, but to say, Lord, I'm going to do your thing. When I think of relationships, it can be easier, we think, to say, well, this relationship's not going well. If it's a friend or a job, or I hope not, but a spouse. And we say, well, if I just get out of this moment, if I get out of this situation or out of this relationship, then everything is going to be okay. We scheme our own way out of a problem. I'm going to find a new job. I'm going to find a new situation. I'm going to find a new house. I'm going to, you know, whatever it is. And I believe that God, it wants to show us today, he's not telling us to quit everything, but he's telling us to lock into him, lock into his wisdom, and then grow in who he is, to grow in faith, to grow in power, to grow in authority. Don't let my fear lead me to schemes. Don't let my fear take me out of a place of faith. Don't let my fear move me from where I am called to be to somewhere else. He divided the people that were with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two companies. Can you just imagine this morning if you are in the company that he's not in? If you're in like the secondary company, this is the part of my family that I'm just going to put on this side. Right? How would we feel today? If it's like, yeah, my kids are going to be here, my wife's going to be here, they'll only kill one half, so that's good. No, that's not good. There's no good about it. In fact, I can just imagine the wounds that happen when I'm in the camp that is expendable, when I'm in the camp that doesn't matter. And when we do our own thing and we walk in fear, we open up the door for hurt and for wounds, for people around us and in our own lives, in our own spirits. We open up the door because fear leads us to divide our camp, and it always weakens our outlook. Always weakens our outlook when we live life based on fear. Now, I mentioned before that there's wisdom. We're not just going to go lick a pole when it comes to coronavirus. And there's a couple things I always remember my mom saying. When we would go on vacations, we always seemed to go to mountains, to crazy stuff. We always climbed trees. We always did whatever was dangerous. We always would jump off the bridge into the water right next to the sign that said, don't jump off the bridge into the water, because it looked fun and everybody else was doing it. So that's, you know, we did those things. And one thing I remember mom saying is, Dave, if they have a problem, I'm not changing their bag. Yes, that's what my mom said. So apparently she wasn't going to be our nurse because it was us being dumb, I guess. I don't think that was very loving. That sticks with me. But the thing I actually want to tell you about today is that my parents would always say, if you get to a spot where you're scared, where God maybe gives you wisdom, you're climbing a rock face and you say, you know what? I'm at the height and the place where if I slip, I might just die. And if that's what your internal conscience or your mind is telling you, don't go for that next step. Just back down. You've probably gone as far as you need to go without the proper ropes and equipment to climb that mountain or to climb that tree or to do that thing. That God gives us wisdom, and it's actually stupidity to say, I'm going to walk in faith when it's actually not faith, but it's just my desires. I'm going to go to the very top, but I get halfway there and realize I've got to make a leap across something that if it doesn't go well, I might die. Guess what? Maybe turn around and don't do that. That's wisdom. When we were in Chile, it's now been almost 2 decades ago, which is hard to even say somehow. But I remember being on a roof, just many times this comes to my mind, but roof with my dad and Brett Hamm, and we're up on this roof. We had worked on this building all week long. We basically roofed the whole thing. A lot of people weren't as comfortable up on the scaffolding and up on these rafters, and we're up there. And all of a sudden, in one moment, Brett just was gone. Now, he didn't fall, thankfully, but he got down. And it was like Dad and I looked at each other, and all of a sudden, we realized that the wind picked up. We realized that we did not have strength. If we slipped earlier in the week, we just would have grabbed on. We were exhausted. We were shaking. And you know what we did? We took a 15-minute break, and we got down off the roof. And we believe that God gave us wisdom enough to listen, not to be afraid, not to say, I'm never going on a roof again, but to say, Lord, I'm going to get down because I feel that's what you're telling me to do. I feel that I need a break. And guess what? God will give us wisdom to walk in faith and to walk with brains to know what to do. And I believe when it comes to this virus, when it comes to different people in the same church having different opinions or different views or different, let's say, on-ramps to get back to normal life, it's going to look different. And you know what? I believe it's 100% possible that God would tell two people, you, hey, you're good. Go out, eat. And he could tell somebody else, you know what? Maybe in your spot, maybe you should just hold off. Guess what? That's fine. I'm good with that. You know what else I believe God can do with this or anything else? Something that 1 week might be completely good, like I'm hoping, House of Japan on Thursday, if they're open. We're still working on if they are. But you know what? If God would say, or if we just have a feeling in our spirit on Thursday afternoon, just a check in my spirit, I have no issue saying, you know what? I think I can wait till next week for House of Japan. Because God can give us wisdom to know what to do, where I can walk with authority and strength, and I don't have to be scared, but I also can say, God, I feel that I'm going to wait until next week, or I feel I'm going to do something differently. Or you know what? I'm going to say this differently to my spouse than I was planning on, because Lord, thank you for giving wisdom that's way bigger than me. Or when you're upset at your work, or you don't like how things are going, or with your family, or even sometimes in our own time with God. You know what? I feel this would be okay, but I'm starting to feel maybe just a check in my spirit where I change. And I say, I'm not going to walk in fear, but I'm going to listen to God, and I'm going to walk in God. I'm going to do what God has. I'm not going to scheme my way out of something. I'm not going to throw out conspiracy theories, or I'm not going to, you know, whatever the things are in our life. I'm not going to go there. But Lord, would you give me wisdom? Would you let me do research? Would you let me take into account in this situation today that we're walking in, my health and what that looks like and how I get back to normal, how I get to see maybe my grandparents or maybe them, get to see kids. Let God lead and direct. And I believe we can do anything, way more than this virus, but in my life, in relationships, in who I should marry, and whether I should have kids or have another kid, or whatever the things are in your life, God wants to give wisdom. He wants you to walk in faith and not fear. As we head towards the close this morning, the last thing we see that I want to talk about in verse 12 is that there's a prayer. Jacob's faith comes through prayer. He says, "But you said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." Now he starts with faith. Look at the angel armies. This is so exciting. He moves from faith to a place of, well, maybe not quite as much faith. There's the scheme and there's the messages, but he gets back to where we need to start, where we need to be in the middle, where we need to be at the end, which is to prayer, to plugging into the things of God, getting into the word of God. This is what God says. Now, I find it interesting in this passage. He says, I will surely do you good. That's what God said. Except if you go back in the Bible, not that every word that God spoke to Jacob had to be in the Bible, but God did not use those words. God did not tell him, surely, I will surely do good or do you good. But God did tell him that his descendants would be like the sand on the sea, right? Just a multitude, more than could be counted. God did say other things. And I think that Jacob put it all together. If I'm going to have descendants upon descendants, you've got to do me good. He could put these things in our mind. And sometimes I might not know the exact word. I might not know the exact thing to say. I might not have the exact right answer. But I think we can look at the word of God and say, Lord, you're going to bless me. Lord, if I walk in you, I'm protected. I'm in your hand. I'm right where you'd want me to be. Lord, I am going to be in the same spot, and I'm going to be able to say, surely you will do me good. You said, surely you will do me good. And today, that's the place that I want to walk in, that I get to proclaim him. And when I pray, it's not a prayer of fear. It's not a prayer of, Lord, please, Jesus, don't let me get something, or please, Jesus. Even if super, super important, my health or my finances or my relationships. But I'm going to walk in a place where I say, Lord, you have already told me that you're going to do me good. You have already said that you're going to protect, you're going to keep me. You've already saved me. You've already brought me into your home, into your family. You've already adopted me as one of your own. I don't have to fear. I don't have to worry. And Lord, I pray you would help me to realize and see with spiritual eyes that there is a host of angels that are around me. And today there will be no fear in my life. Give me wisdom, God. Let me know what to do. Let me know what pattern and what level, how quick I need to get back to normal life. But Lord Jesus, not in a place of fear, but in a place of wisdom. You give me a check in my spirit, and what I did yesterday, I won't do today. You tell me maybe how I've been living with my family isn't good enough. Lord, I'm going to change. I'm going to make it, not because I'm afraid, but because, Lord, I want the best things that you have for me. I want your spirit to work in my life. And Jacob, we're going to see, he doesn't have it all figured out in the next weeks. But Jacob knew where to come back to. Jacob knew, Lord, I need you. Lord, you've spoken. Lord, your word has already proclaimed, and I do not have to be afraid. When I think of COVID-19, from the very beginning, I don't know how severe, I don't know, there's so much information, but you know what I do know? The Lord is with you, and the Lord's with me. And that doesn't mean that no one's going to get it, And that doesn't mean that no one's going to die from it, unfortunately. Death is a terrible part of life. But you know what I know with 100% certainty? Is that God loves you. He cares for you, and he walks with us through every situation. He walks with us through every problem. He walks with us through every relational problem or job problem or sickness or disease. He is with us in the middle, and sometimes he just takes it away. In 1 second, it's gone. Cancer's gone. Bones are put back in place. Sometimes hearts are just fixed. Sometimes coronavirus is taken away. And other times he lets us walk through these situations. And we may not know the answer, but when we lock into him, that's all we need to know. He's with me. His angel armies are around me, and I'm going to walk in faith and confidence. And Lord, let there be no fear in my life. Let there be no worry, no anxiety. Lord, let the even depression, the things be gone in my life. And Lord, give me wisdom to say yes to you in every area, in every part of who I am. Give me wisdom. Today, God loves you. And we're going to close here in a minute with a song. But first, I want to give the opportunity that if today you are watching this and you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never asked him to be Lord of your life, you've never repented of your sin and turned to him, I would ask you today, it is the best decision. It is the best decision that I've ever made. That Radiant Life Church all over the city, that the best decision that each one of us has ever made. And we want to invite you to make that step of faith, to be able to say, I want God's angel armies around me, and I want to be working with them. I want to hear his word. I want to have peace in my life. And right now, if you'd say, that's me, right where you are, whether it be a physical hand or a spiritual hand in your heart, if you would just raise your hand to him and say, that's me. And all you have to do is just say these simple words, dear Jesus, I repent of my sin. Make me new, make me well, make me whole in you. Let me walk with you. Today, let me see that faith is so much greater than fear. That's what it's all about. You say it, if you just did, if you do right now in your heart, you are a child of God. And you know what, Radiant Life Church, I just want to encourage you that if you are scared to death of coronavirus, or you maybe are on the other side, you're so ready to get back to it and you don't have any fear. Can I just ask you, let's tune in to God. Let's listen to his voice. Let's experience him. And let's walk faith way over fear. Let's walk in power and authority. And this week, maybe last week, you would have done something different, but this week, God gives you a check in your spirit. Maybe say, I'm going to hold off on that. Or maybe this week, you're going to say, God, I feel that I can take another step. I can do things with wisdom and clarity, but I maybe could do a little more. Let God lead you. Not what a news program says, because you can find anything you want there. But let God lead you. Let God guide you. And if you feel like you've climbed that mountain and you're on the edge of it, you don't know what to do, today I encourage you. If it's time to take a step back, then just take a step back. You don't need to be on the edge. You don't need to be right on the lip of the edge. But maybe some others, it's time to start climbing. It's time to start and let his spirit guide you. Get into his word and let him lead you in your relationships, in your job, in every part of who you are. Let him lead you and guide you and direct you. So Lord, this morning as we turn our hearts to you one more time, Lord, I pray that fear would be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we would take the most important part of prayer, of a prayer of faith, and that's what we do with it once we're done. Lord, that we would pray a prayer of faith, but then we would walk in that faith. We'd walk in that authority that you give us. We'd walk in you and in your spirit, God. Lord, we need you. We need you, God. And we ask you to do what only you can do. So, Lord, as we close with a song of praise and worship, Lord Jesus, let any fear be gone. Let any worry be gone. And, Lord, let wisdom fill that spot of fear. Let strength fill that spot that was worried and concerned. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you today.